The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen. Daf Gimal. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Hashem tenichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Gimal Amud Rishon, and we are starting right at the top line with the Lishna Aharina. Let's just review where we're holding in this point over here. We were trying to analyze the subject of Hezek Re'iyah. If when somebody is looking at somebody else's field or Hatzer when he's working, is that considered a Hezek, where you could demand to have a fence built in order that he would not be able to see? So we actually started with our Mishnah. We had a Mishnah, we had a Hatzer. It had two parts, belonged to two shutafim. So we said that they could build a wall in between, but that was only because they agreed. They agreed to build the wall, so that would obligate them to put a wall up, and not because of hezek re'iyah, only because they agreed amongst themselves to build it. We also saw a case of shnei ginot, two gardens. We said the reason why you have to put the wall up over there was not because of hezek re'iyah, but we said in a garden, a vegetable garden, you have an inyan of ayin hara. That's why you have to put the wall up. We then saw a case over there, we had a kotel that fell. So we said it's also different, because since it was up already, so then already you have an obligation to return it to the status that originally was, but not because of hezek re'iyah. We had a case over there, bet sha'ar. We said when you're building, like, let's say, a circular gate in front of the chaser, we said that's different because that's the Shuta Rabim looking in. The Shuta Rabim, we do say that there is Hezek Re'iyah. Then we brought a case also of the windows. So we said windows is also a case of Hezek Re'iyah. That's only because you're looking into a private guy's house. Then everybody agrees that it's Hezek Re'iyah because it's private, but not in a chaser. Then the last case we said was the case of the roof. We had a roof looking over a chaser. So we said over there, since the roof is the only one that's looking over into the chaser, the reason why he has to put a wall around his roof is because the guy says, listen, I would do private things in my chaser if it wasn't for you, and I don't know when you're going to come out on the roof. So therefore, in that case, we would also agree you have an issue of hezek re'iyah. But we, basically, in a regular case of a chaser, there would not be a situation of hezek re'iyah. Now the Gemara comes along and brings a lot of what we discussed just in a different lashon. Mishnah Harina. The Gemara brings another Lashon. Amrila, they said like this. Sevarua, the Bnei Yeshiva, thought to say like this. My mechitza, or what does it mean, mechitza? Now Mishnah says you have to put a mechitza up. Pilukta. Pilukta means a division, which means they agreed that they're going to divide the haser amongst themselves. Dichtiv, and they bring an ayah from the Pasuk, which we saw. Batim mechitzat ha'edah. Right, mechitzat ayda is half the ayda, which means mechitzat means to split the chatzes. So comes Gemara and says, "Diu v'chevan deratzu bonim et hakotel." Since they agreed to split up the chatzes amongst themselves evenly, so then what does the Mishnah say? Bonim et hakotel ba'al korhan. So then you have to build a wall even against their will. Alma, implying hezek re'iyah. Shemeh Hezek. That means that case over there, the pshat over here is, they didn't agree on a wall. They agreed on dividing it. Oh, once you agree on dividing it, then you got to put up a wall. Why do you have to put up a wall? We never agreed to put up a wall. We agreed to divide it. Oh, from here you see, from the fact that they agreed to divide it, a wall's automatic. Because otherwise, you're going to be able to see over the other guy's area. And therefore, it's Hezek Re'iyah. So the Gemara wants to prove over here that Hezek Re'iyah is indeed considered a Hezek. Comes the Gemara and says, I'm reading according to Hagahot Abach over here, Ve'ema, maybe we can say, my mechitza, what is a mechitza? Guda. Oh, maybe mechitza is a wall, right? Like that was the other side that we wanted to say. How do we know that it's a wall?
So we saw the Tanya. I'm going according to the Masorat Hashas. He changed it to the word the Tanya. Mechitzat HaKerem, we saw this already. You have a wall that's separating between a vineyard and a field of wheat. Shenifnetzah, and it became breached. Omer lo gedor. So the wheat guy tells the Kerem guy, hey, you better fix your wall, because otherwise you're going to have a problem of kilayim, because when you don't have four amot separating, and there's no wall, so then you have a problem that the kilayim, the grapes are next to the wheat, is going to cause it to become asur. The fritza, if it breached again, omer lo gedor, he tells him again, fix the fence. Nityaesh hemena, if let's say the ma'ala kerem was nityaesh, he gave up, he said, I'm not going to fix it. Ve'lo gadra, hare ze kedesh. Now already the wheat becomes asur v'chaya b'harayuta, and he is responsible to pay for it. But what do you see from over here? That the word mechitza is a wall. So if I can explain it in the sense about a wall, now the Gemara goes the other way. V'tama diratsu, only because they agreed to put a wall. Okay, because they agreed to put a wall. Ha, lo ratsu. But if they didn't agree to put the wall, en mechayvin oto, we're not going to obligate him. Alma hezek ne'iya. Therefore, we're going to say that Hezek is not considered a Hezek. Kebras Ihache Bonin etakotel Bonin otom, which means if the case is talking about, it's talking about a wall that they agreed to build. So why is it the Mishnah have to say Bonin etakotel? We know we're talking about a wall. If you said Mechitza means a wall, so it should just say in the Mishnah Bonin oto. Why do you have to tell me Bonin etakotel? It's redundant. We know we're talking about a wall. Kebras says Elamai Pilukta. Oh, so what do you want to tell me the other way? That the mechitza means you are dividing the chatzer, not a wall, meaning you're splitting the chatzer. Yachi, shiratsu lahasot mechitza, shiratsu lahasot mev'ile. In that case, it's more proper to use the word lahasot. Lahasot is a divide instead of the word mechitza. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a question. Kide amre inche. Like the people say, what's the vernacular of the people? Tana avid pelukta. Yeah, let's come make a pulg, let's make a division. So you see, they use the word pedukta or mechitza. They use it as a terminology to divide. So therefore, the Gemara is going according to this version that really the Mishnah could have been talking about a mechitza, meaning splitting the field. Now again, if you're learning splitting the field in hezek, the yah would be a hezek, because I want to explain this clearly to you. Because if you say they're splitting the chatzir, All they decided on is we're going to divide the chassid. They didn't discuss walls, they discussed nothing. And the Mishnah then says, you got to put up a wall. Who discussed walls? Oh, because must be, when you decide to split a chassid, you have to put up a wall, because hezek ni'iyah is going to be considered a hezek. Why then would the Mishnah use the lashon mechitza? Should he use the word lachatzot? No, kedamre inchin, and he used the vernacular. People talk like that. So comes the Gemara and says, v'i hezek ni'iyah. Shem Hezek. Oh, now if you're going to tell me that Hezek Ne'iyah is indeed a Hezek, my Idiyar Ratsu Afilu Lo Ratsu Namer. Oh, the Gemara has a strong question here. Which means, okay, we're learning the cases talking about, like we said, they decided to split the Chatzir. Good? So we said, they decided to split the Chatzir. They made an agreement. So what do we say? They got to put up a wall, because Hezek liyashim Hezek. Why if they decided? Even if they didn't decide. He said, bottom line, their partner's in the chatzir. One guy in the chatzir has a right to tell the other guy, I don't want you to damage me. Which is why dafka they both agreed. If you tell me Hezek liyash considered a Hezek, you don't need their agreement to split the chatzir. Their partner's in the chatzir. One of the partners can always tell the other partner, hey, listen, I want you to put a gate up there. I don't want you to look at me when I'm working. Why would the Mishnah say Davka Ratsu? If there's a Hezek over of Ne'iyah, the Cha'ora, one of the Shutafim has a right to tell the other partner, put a wall up because of the situation of Hezek Ne'iyah. That's a very strong question to give without saying, Afilu lo Ratsu Nameh, even without Ratsu. Amar Rabbi Aseh, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Mishnatenu, Kesheen Badin Haluka. This is a subject that we discussed briefly yesterday. We have a law that says like this. If you have a chatzir that is less than 8 amot, okay, the small chatzir, less than 8 amot, where if you're going to divide it, each guy's going to get less than 4 amot. In that case over there, you cannot do anything without getting permission from the other guy. You dafka have to have permission from your partner. Why? Because in that case over there, if you're going to divide a chatzir against the guy's will, you're really hurting him, because you're giving him what, less than 4 amot? What is the guy going to do less than 4 amot of chatzir?
Meaning, if the chatzer is a big chatzer, then already everybody agrees you could put walls up without even asking the other guy. Because I'm leaving you with a nice amount of space to work. Masha'enken, if you're learning a case where it's a small chatzer, of let's say 7 amot, where if I'm going to put a wall up, you're going to be left up with less than 4, so therefore you cannot go. So therefore that's why the Mishnah had to give the case of Ratzu. Only the case of Ratzu, because it's a chatzer that does not have a din of halukah, that normally you're not allowed to split it, because it's small. So therefore the Mishnah's case is only talking about Ratzu where they agreed. Of course, if they both agree to split the chatzer, not a problem. But if they don't agree, then the guy cannot even put a wall up to protect himself. It's a sukkah, because you're hurting the other guy. So that's why the Mishnah had to give a case of Ratzu. So now we're really zoning in on the case of the Mishnah. It's a case where they decided to split the chatzer, and it's talking about it's a chatzer, it's a small chatzer, less than 8 amot, and therefore we have to give the case where it is Ratzu, where dafka they both agreed to do it.
But greater than 8.
Greater than
8,
then even in that, so even one guy decides to put a wall up, because I'm leaving you with because Hezek Liyashim Hezek, and therefore I can put a wall up without you asking. When the Mishnah is giving a case of that too, because of the situation of En Badin Haluka, that she says, She En Badin Haluka Het Amot No Yachloku. Oh, the who did that too? Okay, so Gemara says, Maika Mashma'lan. Hey, what is the Hadush of the Mishnah? Is the Hadush of the Mishnah? Just want to get the right girsa. Okay. Dechi let me din haluka kidatsu peligi, which means, is that what you're teaching me? The Mishnah gave me a case of of less than 8 amot to teach me that when it's less than 8 amot, you need permission from both guys. Is that the Hadush of the Mishnah? We know that already. Tanina, we learned that from a Mishnah that's coming up later on, right? On Yud Aleph. What does it say on Yud Aleph? Ematai bizman chein shenehem rotzim. Aval. Clearly, it says in the Mishnah later on that when are they able to do something even without reshut? That's when it's bigger than 8 amot. However, when do they need reshut from each other? That's talking about where it's less than 8 amot. So, Mr. Bifurush Mishnah later on. Why would the Mishnah, what's the purpose of our Mishnah to tell me a case where it's less than 8 amot? Oh, to teach me the permission rule? That when it's less than 8 amot, you've got to get permission from each guy to put a wall up? We know that already from Mishnah later on. Why would the Mishnah deem it necessary to tell me this law? So the Gemara says, Imehatam, because if you're going to rely on the Mishnah, Yud Aleph, Hava Amina Afilu Pachot Mikan, B'Mesipas, Be'alma. Oh, so I would have thought that what? That I could put even a Mesipas. Mesipas like a fence made out of reeds. Or some very, very, very simple offense. That's why the Mishnah has to come and tell me over here that no, when you finally agree, you cannot just put a misipas up. When they agree to make the division, you got to put up a regular kotel. If it was only over there, I'd say all I know from over there is agreement. You need agreement when it comes to less than 8 amot. Fine, now we agree. Okay, now one guy can say, no, I agree, but I want to put up a little fence of reeds. That's why Mishnah says, no. When you agree to make a halukah, you got to put up a regular wall. And the other guy cannot say, no, I want to get off cheap. I want to put up a misipas. No, you got to put up a regular wall. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, a simple question. Velitniha, velo litnihach. We can learn everything from our Mishnah. What do you need that other Mishnah at all for? Which means, learn everything from our Mishnah. Mishnah will teach me two dini. Number one, when it's less than 8 amot, you need permission from both guys to put up a fence. And what type of fence? A kotel. So the second Mishnah is superfluous at all. I can learn everything from the first Mishnah. Gemara says, Sefa Estarichale. No, the Hadush in Yud Aleph on that Mishnah is not the case of the Hatzer, but it's the end of the Mishnah. What does it say at the end of the Mishnah? V'chitve HaKodesh, afal pi sheshnem rotzim, lo yachloku. Hadush. If you have partners in Chitve HaKodesh, for example, your partners in the Sefer Torah, or partners in a Megillah, or partners in a Tanakh, whatever it is. In the olden days, they used to write the Tanakh on scrolls. So the Hadush is, you don't divide a scroll. You're not going to split the scroll in half now, even on the stitches. You're not going to divide it. You don't want to destroy a Megillah. You don't want to destroy a scroll. So therefore, the Hadush of the last Mishnah is the Sefa. That when it comes to partners that are dividing a Kitve Kodesh, you're not allowed to split it. As she says, ובחתבי קודש ספר תורה שהוא בכרח יחד it's in one parchment וכן נביאים וכתובים וכתובים בגליון כספר תורה so the חדוש of it is that you do not split it. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues.
Okay, now we have a little parenthesis over here. So we have to see. We want to start from the words Ad Ashmir Inan. Okay, I have parentheses all over here. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Ad Ashmir Inan. The fact that you want to come and teach me what? B'she'en Badin Haluka. You're learning the Mishnah. It's a case of En Badin Haluka, meaning it's less than 8 Amot. Vehu Diratsu. And that's why it's teaching me only when they both agreed. Lishmi'inan beyesh badin haluka. Let the Mishnah teach me a case where it was more than 8 amot. Ve'afalgav ve'lo ratzu. Right? Which means, why did the Mishnah choose to teach me a case of less than 8 ratzu? You could have taught me more than 8, even lo ratzu. Because the deen is, if it's more than 8, you can do whatever you want. You can just put the, you know, one guy can force the other guy to put a fence up. Why didn't they tell me that case over there? What else says? Yashmi'inan biyesh badin haluka. Vafagav de lo ratzu. Because if you were to tell me that case of more than 8 amot, you don't even need permission from each other. Each guy can do whatever he wants to put up a fence. Habamina she'en badin haluka afilu ratzu namelo. Because I would have said that if it's less than 8 amot, even ratzu is not good. I would make a diuk that ratzu, I would say that. When there's more than 8 amot, I would go to the extreme, and I would say, even lo ratzu, you don't even have to get permission. And I would say, but if it's less than 8 amot, even ratzu is not going to be good. Kamash ma'alan, that's why it had to give me that case. Kamash ma'alan, but wait. Umi matzit amrit ache? What are you talking? Would I even think to say that? Ve'aketani sefa. I have the sefa, which is the end of the Mishnah, on Yud Aleph, clearly says, bizma'e matai bizman she'en she'nehem rotzim. Which means, clearly the Mishnah Yud Aleph tells me that what? That Bizman Shnem Rotzim, if it's even less than 8 Amot, you're allowed to split. How would I even have a have? I mean, to think that less than 8 Amot, even Natsu, is not good. It's really written in the Mishnah later on. So the Gemara says, My love, a Kotel. And I would have assumed that what it's talking about a Kotel, like the regular Deen. Yehuda says, "No, amisipas be'alma." Like we said before, that I would have thought if it just told me that Mishnah over there, I would say that I could put it only. I can argue and put just a misipas up if it's less than 8 amot. So the Gemara says, "Litni ha ve'lo litni ha." Again, why doesn't it just say the first case, our Mishnah, and not the last case? Sefa etzerichale ubichizve kodesh. So basically it's the same exact thing we just said before. That basically they're learning that our Mishnah is a case of less than 8 amot. If you're going to learn it, that's my division. That's why it's dafka ratzu. And the hadush is that you have to put a kotel up. And the reason why you have to put a kotel up if you go like that is because of hezek ne'iyah would be a hezek. So that's the way the Gemara concludes according to this version, which means halakha l'maaseh, Maran is posek hezek liyah shem hezek. He's posek like this lishnah harina that clearly says the case of the Mishnah is talking about where they want to divide the actual chatzer. That's what they decided to do, divide the chatzer. Once they divide the chatzer, now they have to put a wall up. Why? Because hezek liyah shem hezek. Okay, that's halakha in Kuf Nun Zayin Se'if Aleph. Now the Gemara continues on this subject, a couple of more rules. Gemara says, "Bemai ukimta." How did you establish lematnitin al mishnah? B'she'en ba'din haluka. Okay, you good? You learned the case of it's a small chatzer, less than 8 amot. I b'she'en ba'din haluka. If it's talking about a case where it's less than a din of haluka, there's less than 8. Kidatsu mayave. So what do I care if they agreed? Okay, we both agreed. Now we want to divide it. Nehedaru behu. Let them retract. No, what's the Gemara's question? Let them retract. Which means, just because you're saying that they agreed, they always can retract. And therefore, they're really not obligated to make a haluka. So therefore, the guy cannot force his friend to put a kotel up. Which is, it's all verbal here. I come along and say, all right, yeah, we'll split it. Now we know there's also kinyan in words. Just because I gave you my commitment, that all right, you know what, we'll split the hatzir. What, that means, so I said, yes, I'll do it, now I have to put up a wall? I could back out of it, but I changed my mind, by the way, so I could stop you from putting up a wall. Which means, where did you get this concept? Just because I give you a verbal commitment, Didn't we always learn you got to make a kinyan? There's got to be some type of koneh something. Devarim themselves don't make a kinyan. So therefore, why just because we both agreed to split the chatzir up, now we both have an obligation to put up a wall? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, shekanu miyadan. No, no, they made a kinyan. They did a sudar. Okay, they did a kinyan sudar. So the Gemara says, v'chi kanu miyadan mayhaveh. So they made a kinyan and sudar. What does that do for us? Kinyan devarim be'almahu. Which means a sudar is only kone something that you could be kone actually. For example, you have a metaltelin, right? Now if I wanted to be kone the metaltelin, I could pick it up myself. So instead of picking it up, we make kinyan sudar. Here, what am I making kinyan sudar on? On words? On a verbal agreement? You can't make kinyan sudar on something that's verbal. You got to make a kinyan sudan on something that's actually tangible. What's the tangible part over here? So comes the Gemara and says, that she says, kinyan devarimu. Look at that she, ve'en halipin kolin, ela davar nikneh, o mechar, o matana, o shamut karkaot, she kinyan hal alav, o metaltelin. Exactly. You can only make a kinyan sudan on something that's transferable. But words are not transferable. So Gemara says, Bishikanu miyadan beruhot. As she says, it's talking about a case, ze borer lo chelik mizrahi. They divided it physically. They said, you'll take the eastern side of the haser, veze borer lo chelik ma'arabi, you'll take the western side, vekanu miyadan. Which is not stam that they made a kinyan on, all right, we'll divide. They actually said, we're making a kinyan on this chelik. You take the west, I take the east. Now it's already binding. Once already we actually we delineated, you get that spot, you get that spot, and we make a kinyan sudan on it, that's already done. Rav Ashi Amar, Kegon, Shehalak ze betok shelo ve'azik, ve'ze betok shelo ve'azik. Another way, they actually walked on their area and they made a hazakah. Which if you walk on your area, make a hazakah, so you kone, that's more than words. How do you make a hazakah? A guy took a shovel, he dug a ditch on his area. Once you make a hazakah in your area, it's binding. So now already, they can't back out. The whole Gemara's question was, so they gave a verbal commitment, big deal. No, you're right, a verbal commitment means nothing. But if the guy went on the actual area that he wants to be kone and made a hazakah on it, it's his. Now already, they both did it on their respective sides, so they both could demand to put a mechitza in the middle because of the hezekriyah. Okay, Tosfot just has a question over here. Tosfot says, what is the hadush of Rav Ashi? As if Rav Ashi is teaching us a big hadush. We know that. Whenever you make a hazakah, you kone. Wait, big hadush Rav Ashi is teaching me. You know, when you go on the guy's, your side of the field, you make a hazakah, you kone. What, this is the first time till I got to Baba Batad Avgiva, I didn't know this din of hazakah? So Tosfot says the hadush is that both of them don't have to do it. Once one guy makes a hazakah on his side, automatically the other side goes to the other fellow. Okay, in any event, comes the Gemara now and continues. We go back to the Mishnah, discussing the bricks and the brick size and the width and all that stuff. We learned in the Mishnah that basically there's different type of bricks. There's gevil, there's gazit, right? There's chifisin, there's levenim, and there's ariach. These are all different types of bricks. Basically, the rule was whatever the minhag of the minhag was, you got to follow. Now, basically, I think we learned that gazit or gevil was a bigger brick. That was like the bricks that had the protrusions that came out of the side, and the gazit was a more straight brick that was not didn't have the protrusions. So now the Gemara is going to go into it. Gemara says like this.
Stones.
Okay, gevil, second one line. Gevil, abne delom meshafia. Those are stones that are not smoothed. No, they didn't smooth them. It still has the protrusions coming out of the side of it. The lom mishafia. Okay? Gazit, abne de mishafia. Okay, gazit is the stones that are smooth, that they actually make them straight. And therefore, they're smaller, because you don't have the protrusions. How do we know this? We actually know it from Shlomo HaMelech. Dichtiv, when Shlomo HaMelech went to Beit HaMikdash, kol ele avarim. All these stones over here, yekarot, they were heavy, kimidat gazit. Now, the proof is really not from what the Gemara quoted. You got to read two more words in the Pasuk. The two more words are Megorarot Bamigera. They were filed with the file. So you see over here that Gazit is stones that are filed and smooth. Kefisin. Okay, what is Kefisin? It's also a type of brick. Arche. What is Arche? Arche is half a brick. A regular brick is 3 tefachim. So a Kefisin would be 1.5. Okay, very easy. Levenim, libne. Okay, levenim is libne. A regular brick, which is 3 tefachim wide. Amar le rabba bered rabba le rabba asher. So now they're going to question this whole business over here. Rabba, the son of Rabba, tells Rabba asher, Memay de givil abne de lo meshaifaninu. Who told you that givil is unfiled bricks? The high tefach yetera limursha de karnata, and the extra tefach that this brick has is because of the protrusion that comes out of the corner of it. Who told you that? Dilma palga de gazitu. Maybe a gevil is half of gazit. Just like we said when you have the bricks, right? We said you have a kafis and a levena. Just like we said, levena is a full brick and a kafis is a half a brick. Maybe that's the same relationship between gevil and gazit. That means maybe gevil is what? Gevil is half of gazit. Ve'ay tefach yetera, and that tefach yetera lebene orbehu. Maybe the extra tefach is the cement that they put in between the bricks. As she says, lebene orbe ben dimos shemikan or ben dimos shemikan ve'noten tit be'emsa. Remember we said by the half a brick. Why is the half a brick wall 4 tefachim? Because you have 1.5, 1.5, and you put a little cement in between. That makes it 4. So maybe the same thing over here. Maybe really I'll tell you that a gevil is half of a gazit, but the reason why it's a tefach extra, because you put 2 of them, and you put a little cement in between, so that gives it an extra tefach. I mean, the same relationship between a kafis and a levena we'll say is the relationship between a gazit and a gevil. So Gemara says, "Kedeka amrinan." Gemara is part of the question. Like we said, "Kefise arche." Kefis is half a brick. Lebenin lebne. By tefach yetera, the extra tefach by the kefisin is what lebene orbe to meet in between the bricks itself, the extra cement. Amale. So he said, "What are you talking about? Why are you asking this question?" Veletamech. Kefisin arche minalan. Can I ask you a question? How do you know that kefisin is half a brick? Who told you that you know that? Gemara says, Ela gabra gemirila. Ela, you have a tradition. So just like you have a tradition on that, gevil name avne delo meshafya gamra gemirila. Just like you have a tradition on half a brick, we have a tradition on a gevil, that it's these stones that are not smoothened, that have these protrusions. So then when you ask me questions, it's a tradition, it's a Kabbalah that we have. Gemara says, Ika de amne, another version. Amar le Rav Acha bered Rav Avya le Rav Asher. Mimai dehai kifisin archeninu. Now we're asking on the kifisin, the half bricks. How do you know that kifisin is considered half a brick? Dehai tefach yetera lebene urbe. And we're going to say that what? That the extra tefach is the cement in between the bricks. Because when you put half bricks, you put 2 half bricks, which is 1.5 each, and you put a little tefach in between of cement, so that breaks it away 4 tefachim. Who told you that? Dilma mai kifisin avne delo meshafyan. Maybe a kafis is a stone that's not smoothened, and therefore has a protrusion. V'ay tefach yeteran, the extra tefach that you have, lemorsha de karnata, is on the protrusion that comes out of the corners. So he's really asking a simple question. Who told you that a kafis is half a brick? Maybe a kafis is what we were referring to till now as gevil.
Gemara says, kedekamrinan.
What do you mean?
And just like we said, gevil avne de lo meshafyan, gazit avne de meshafyan.
Just like we said by gevil. Gevil is stones that are not smoothed. Gazit avne de meshafyan. Vayitefa yetera le moshad kanata. Which means, just like you said, gevil and gazit.
One has a protrusion, one doesn't. Say the same thing with the bricks. One is a brick that has a protrusion, one that does not. Well, before you get to ask me a question on what a brick is, how do you know what gevil is? Gevil, how do you know that a gevil is bricks that are stones that are not smooth? Like a medila. They have a tradition what gevil is. So to buy half a brick, gamraga midila. Okay, so everything basically comes down to a tradition. We just knew what these items are. We learn from over here. Kol bene urbe tefah. That any time when they would lay bricks, the in-between of bricks would be a tefah. Like we learned that from the Mishnah. We said if you have, let's say, half a brick and half a brick, which is 1.5 and 1.5, and you're putting them next to each other, you have to put some cement in between. And we said altogether it's 4. That means any time you lay bricks and you put cement in between, how much cement do you put between the bricks? A tefah's word. Forget what I said. Hani mili betina. That's only talking about that if you're using tina. What's tina? Mud. Okay. Abal birriksa ba'itafe. Riksa is pebbles. Okay, pebbles you need more than the tefah. Okay, but give me, but the Gemara is teaching over here, you have to know if you're going to build for somebody. If you're going to go build for your neighbor a wall, you've got to know the halachot over here. Depends what you're using. If you're going to use cement, then you use a tefah in between. If you're going to use pebbles, you got to put even more than a tefah. Some say the opposite. Hani mili b'riksa. When you use pebbles, you need a tefah. Aval betina. But if you're going to use cement, you don't even need a tefah. You can even get away with less. Okay, so that's that point. Now the Gemara says, now what did we learn in our Mishnah? We learned in our Mishnah, you have gazit. What was the shi'ud of gazit? Gazit was 5. I think gevil was 6. And gazit wall was 5. Let's review that in our Mishnah. We said, Givi zenoten, gimat tevim zenoten, gimat tevim, gazit zenoten tefahim u'mehsa, zenoten tefahim u'mehsa. Exactly. So the gazit wall was 5. It's 2.5. This guy gives a brick of 2.5. This guy gives a stone 2.5. You have 5. Now, how tall is the wall? Later on, the Mishnah is going to teach us that the wall was 4 amot. Okay, so we're learning our rule in building. When you want to build the wall 4 amot, using gazit stone, to get the proper stability, it's got to be 5 thick. 5 width will be a stable wall of gazit when it's 4 amot high. So the Gemara is going to have a question on this, because we know in the Beit HaMikdash they use gazit, and the Beit HaMikdash was 30 amot high. Now, l'chaura, based on the principles that we're learning now, it's not wide enough. It seems for every 4 amot you need a thickness of 5 to hold it. But in the Beit HaMikdash, it was much higher. So the Gemara says, first, it gives us the rule. The memra de begazit. When it comes to gazit stones, the chol dalir amot gova, for every 4 amot in height, like the case of our Mishnah, the wall was 4 amot. Iyave putya hamsha ka'e. If the width of the stones are going to be 5, it'll stand. Ilo lo ka'e. Less than 5, it's not going to stand. Aveha amatraksin. Amatraksin was the wall that separated in the Beit HaMikdash between the Hechal and the Kodesh Kodashim. You had the Hechal, that's the open area, then you have the Holy of Holies where the Aron was. That's why they call this wall that they built Amat Traksin. Traksin, Tosfot says, is a combination of two words, Truku and Sin. What is Truku and Sin? So he explains it to mean that it is, well, Sin is Sinai. Because in Sinai, that's where the Luchot were. And Truku is they were covering up, hiding. So therefore, they would call the wall that separated the Hechal and the Kodesh Kodashim, Amat Traksin, Traksin. Hiding the scene, hiding Sinai, hiding the Luchot that were given at Sinai. Anyway, what was the story with that wall that they built? Da'aba gavawa taltin amata. It was 30 amma high, that wall. Ve'lo'ava futya elashit. Pushche, and the width of it was only 6, Mekam, and it stood, which is based on the ratio that we're saying now, for every 4 amot you need 5 width, this was 6 times, 7 times higher, more, and it only had 6 width. Kabbalah says, Ka'ir. That extra tefa took care of it. Which means by putting one extra tefa from 5 to 6, then already you can put much higher the walls, no problem. That was on the first Beit HaMikdash. In the second Beit HaMikdash, my tama lo avud amatraksin. How come they did not build it? When this was only built in Shilawah Melech's time. But when they built the second Beit HaMikdash, they didn't build a actual wall. They built a curtain instead. Why did they build a wall? To separate the Echad to the Kodesh Kodeshim. Gemara says, ki ka'e betaltin, ka'e, tefe lo ka'e. Because the Beit HaMikdash, the second one was 40 amma high. 40 amma, the wall would not stand. 30 amma, 6 width, will be okay. But a 40 amma structure, like the second temple, was bigger than the first temple, so then already it wouldn't stand. So they could not build it. How do you know the second Beit HaMikdash was higher than the first Beit HaMikdash? Dikhtiv, because it says, Gadol yihye kavod abayit hazeh aharon min harishon, which means the honor of the second Beit HaMikdash is going to be greater than the first. Rav Ushmuel, Rav Yehudah ben Yohanan, Rabbi Elazar, Hadamar b'binyan. One rabbi learns this in structure, meaning the first Beit HaMikdash was 30 amma high, and the second Beit HaMikdash was 40. That's what the pasuk means. Gadol yihye kavod abayit hazeh aharon min harishon. V'had amar, but another rabbi says, in years, b'shanim. Because the first Beit HaMikdash only lasted 410 years. The second Beit HaMikdash lasted 420 years. So therefore, in years, the second Beit HaMikdash lasted longer. So that's what it means. Gadol yeh kavod abayit aharon yoter min harishon. And the Gemara concludes on this and says, v'ita leha, v'ita leha. And both were true. They're both right. The Beit HaMikdash, the second in years was longer, and in structure was higher. Gemara says, "V'ni'amedu taltin amma b'binyan, v'idach ni'abit parochet." The Gemara says, you know what? So it was 40. So build the amma traksin, build it out of stone, 30 amma high, and the rest build the parochet. Why did you have to build the whole thing curtain? Build as much as you can, stone, up to 30 amma, you say? Good. And then build the rest parochet. Why'd you have to build the whole thing, parochet, the second Beit HaMikdash? Gemara says, ki ka'et taltin amata, name agav tekra uma'aziba hava ka'e. Belo tekra uma'aziba lo hava ka'e. Gemara is saying, the key that we said that in the 30 amma structure, you can have this amma traksin, it's talking about where the wall reached the roof. When the wall reaches the roof with the support of the roof, plus the thickness of it, it'll stand. But to build it a ways up without it hitting the roof, it will not be able to handle it. Which means, dafka where the amma traksin, like in the case of the first Beit HaMikdash, reached from floor to roof. That with the support of the roof, the ma'aziba, then it'll be able to stand. But without the support, without people, so there'll be an option to build it as high as you can and then put the rest parochet. That's not a solution. Because it's not going to hold it. Because it doesn't reach the roof. So Gemara says, v'le'ayvid, may de'efshar b'binyan, v'le'ayvid idach parochet. Which means, do whatever you can do with a binyan, in binyan in construction, and build the rest with parochet. Which means, correct. Which means, you're telling me that you're not going to be able to build 30 up, because it's not going to hold. So whatever you could build in stone, build stone. You tell me you can build 10 amma, could build 10 amma stone, whatever it'll hold, and then build the rest parochet. Why did they concede in the second Beit HaMikdash to build all parochet? They could have made a compromise. Build as much stone as you can. You're right, it's not going to reach the top. You can't go 30. I agree. 30 is not an option. But less than 30. And then put the rest parochet.
Amar Abaye Gimiri.
We have a tradition.
Ikullihu bebinyan, ikullihu beparochet.
Either it's got to be all wall or all parochet. You can't mix and match. You can't put half wall, half parochet.
How do you know? Ikullihu bebinyan bemikdash.
Which means, we know that binyan, a wall, from the first temple. From the first Beit HaMikdash, it was all wall. So you learn from there.
Ikullihu beparochet memishkan.
How do you know parochet from the Mishkan? The Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was all parochet. So we don't have any tradition to build half wall, half parochet. So that's going to be asur. So therefore the Gemara is concluding and saying in the first Bet HaMikdash, they built all wall. In the second Bet HaMikdash, they built all parochet. And they could not split it between stone and parochet. Comes the Gemara and continues, new question. It seems when you have bricks, on the bricks themselves, they would put limestone. Now, on the limestone, it seems thickens the brick. So the question is, when we gave the Shi'urim in our Mishnah, a brick is 3 tefachim. Is that with the limestone or without the limestone? The Gemara says, Ibai lehu. Hed v'sidan o dilma hem belo sidan. Which means, when we said in the Mishnah, that she says, Im obi atiyach kash, were you including that little encasement over the brick? Odilma makom abanim avi befucha lebad titasin. Which means, or maybe no, you were giving the shoe without. The shoe were not including the encasement of the limestone that they put over the rocks, let's say. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mistavra en Vesidan. Mistavra, the Mishnah is including the whole finished product. The stone with the seed on top of it. The Isa Gadalachem below Sidan, because if you think the Mishnah is talking about just the stone itself without the seed, Litniye Lishi'ure, then you got to give me that Shi'ur, which means the Mishnah should have then given me the real Shi'ur. Because then you're missing out. When the Mishnah gave me a Shi'ur is 3 Tefahim, let's say. It's really not so. You should tell me it's 3 Tefahim plus a little. From the fact the Mishnah gave me the bottom line Shi'ur, must be including full package. Ela Lashma Mina Hen Vesidan. Gemara says, no. Really, Atar Mishnah is giving you the calculation, not including the limestone. What do you mean? But it skipped it. How can it skip that the shi'ud? It's such a small amount. It's less than a tefah. So the Mishnah is not going to list insignificant shi'udim. Which means you're right. Really, when they're going to build the wall, you have to put this extra seed over here, which is going to add up to less than a tefah. But the Mishnah doesn't feel it's necessary to give me shi'urim that are less than a tefah. It's only going to give me the shi'urim in tefahim increments, but not in less than tefahim increments. But that's not so. Ve'aketani, it says in the Mishnah, bilbenim zenoten tefah o mechsa, vezenoten tefah o mechsa. What do you mean? By half bricks, it gave me half measures, 1.5. Tefahim. So you see, the Mishnah is giving you even a shi'urim that are less than a tefah. Over there, it's because you can combine it. This 1.5 with this 1.5, you're putting them together, it comes to 3. But the little limestone that's on the brick, that's already insignificant, and therefore the Mishnah does not include it. Comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, we have a braita. Hakorah she'amnu. Okay, this is talking about in Masechet Erubin. Remember we learned in Erubin, you have a Mavui, right? Mavui is, let's say, open up to the Shuta Rabim. It's Ali that's open up to the Shuta Rabim. You need to carry in the Mavui. What do you got? You got to put a pole, right? A Surat HaPeta. You got to put a pole by the gate over there. And the pole has to be a certain width. So the Gemara Mishnah Erubin said, the width of the pole has to be enough to put a half a brick on it. Okay, not only in width, but in strength that it can hold half a brick. So the Gemara says, Hakorah she'amru, the pole that they said that you put in front of Mavui in order to kosher the situation to carry, Rehava kedeh lekabel ariyah. It's got to be wide enough to hold an ariyah. Veha ariyah hatsi levena shel gimal tefarim. And an ariyah is half a brick of 3, which means it is... It is 1.5. But what do you see over here? That a brick is 3 tefachim. And you see that what? It must have been including the seed. Which is for the fact that it says a brick of 3, that's the shoot of a brick. It must be including the limestone that they put around the brick. Because otherwise, you're not giving me the right shi'ud. You're trying to teach me to. You have to pull a pole up by the mavui. The pole has to be enough to hold half a brick. Half a brick from bricks that are normally 3. Then that must be the full shoot of a brick. So it must be when you give me the shoot of a brick, you're including the seed. Gemara said, no, atam berav revata. Now over there, it was talking about big bricks, which means
Rashi Berav Revata Umanitim Bezutneta Da'im Sidano Avi Elagim Batafayim, which means over there in Erubin, it was giving me a brick, which was a big brick, that it's really three tefachim plus the limestone. And in our Mishnah, it was talking about a small brick. So when it said three, three is including the limestone. It's talking about two different bricks. Over there in Erubin, it's talking about Levenim Gedelot, that they're three even without the seed. Again, really, that the Mishnah in Erubin is not including seed. It's not including seed. How to get the three? Because they're big bricks. A big brick without seed will equal three. Our Mishnah is talking about small bricks. Small bricks with the seed will have three. Understand? A big brick without seed equals three. That's Erubin. A small brick with seed, which is our Mishnah, is three as well. So big brick, small bricks. You know what? I'll prove to you that I'm right. From the language, Diktari shil shiloshat tefachim. In Erubin, it said it has to be a half a brick, like to fit on the pole, in bricks that are three tefachim. When you're measuring a brick of three, shil shiloshat tefachim, which means it seems there's different styles of bricks. In a brick that is three tefachim, mechlal di ikazutra, must be the bricks that are less than three tefachim. From the fact that the Mishnah in Erubin said, from bricks that are three tefachim, must be there bricks that are less than three. What's the case? Our Mishnah. A small brick that would be, let's say, 2.9, plus the seed would make it three. So the Erubin is saying, on a brick that's three without seed, a big brick. That's what a small brick. What's a small brick? A small brick was a 2.9 with the seed on it. Therefore, I can say the Mishnah is including seed. Shema mina. Amar Afrizda, new story. Afrizda says, "Lo listod inish bekinishta. You're not allowed to take apart a synagogue. You're not allowed to destroy a synagogue. Ad debane bekinishta hariti. Until you build a new one first. Once you build a new one, then you can take down the original one. Ikadamu. What's the reason? Two reasons. Dmishum peshiuta. Some say because you might be negligent, you might never build a new one. So you're going to knock down the first one. Now things are going to come up. You're going to be negligent, and then you're not going to have a synagogue at all." It can be poshaya. And she says, "Dilma mitrame onis." Maybe there's an onis going to come up. Upashayev lo bani ahariti. Now you have no synagogue. Veikade amre b'shum tziluye. And some say, "No, I'm not worried about pishia. I'm just worried you're not going to have a place to pray. Which if you're going to knock down the old synagogue, until you build the new one, where are you going to pray? What's the nafkamina between the two answers? My benayu ika benayu the ika. What's the gimal duchta letzluye? Right." Let's say we have another place to pray. We could pray in somebody's basement, let's say. So according to the first reason, you're still not allowed to build. Because my concern is, if I knock down the first structure, I might never build the second structure. But according to the second reason, no, I'm worried you don't have a place to pray. But if you have a place to pray, you pray in some guy's basement, so therefore you have a place to pray, therefore you have no problem. Those are enough to come between the two reasons, if you're going to have an alternate area to pray in the interim. So if you have an alternate area, you can knock down the first synagogue according to the second reason and build the second one. According to the first reason, no. That's Gemara tells the story. Moremor umor zutra. These two rabbis, satre ubane bekaita besidva. They destroyed the summer synagogue in the winter. And then the opposite, ubanu besidva, and they built the winter synagogue, bekaita, in the summer. Look at Rashi. Beit hakneset haya lahem limot ha-choref. They had a synagogue for the winter. Namoch, bekotalim rechavim, was a small synagogue, wide walls, halonot mu'atim, small windows, not a lot of windows, but that's sinak, because they don't want to put windows in the winter synagogue because it gets cold. Ubimot ha-chama, beit hakneset acher, they had another synagogue for the summer, that was, I guess, airy, and the wind would come in and stuff like that. So whenever they wanted to make repairs to the winter or the summer synagogue, their custom was like this. They would take down and build the summer synagogue in the winter and the winter synagogue in the summer, so they were never missing a synagogue. They always would have a bet knesset, right? So they would always have a place to pray. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar le Rav Nadav Asher, Gabu zuze umahte mai. Let's say they collected the money already, which means, and the gabai is holding it. You just told me, what am I worried? Don't knock down the first synagogue because you might not build the second one. But let's say it's guaranteed. I collected the money already. Which means let's say the new synagogue to build is $100,000. We collected $100,000. It's in the bank. So there's no pishi'uta. What could happen? So then maybe in that case, I could argue, knock down the first synagogue and you have the money. What could happen? Gemara says, no. Amale dilma mitramelu pinyon shivuim. Maybe what's going to happen, maybe a new expense is going to come up where you have to redeem people that are in captivity. And then you're going to have to pay for that. So now you took the 100,000, you redeemed people that were in captivity. Now you end up not building the synagogue. So therefore, even if you have the money in the bank, you cannot knock down the first synagogue until you build the second. Good? The next question. Sharige libne vahadre hudre umahte kishure. Okay, what is that? Sharige libne. That means you have already a pile of bricks, which means the contractor delivered the bricks already. You have a pile of bricks, you know, on top of each other. And you're ready to put them in the building. Vehadre hudre. That's talking about they're smoothed already. I mean, the bricks are already filed. Okay? Now that umachte kishure. And the beams are prepared. Basically, the point is you have all the materials available. Not only money now. Now already we took the money, we bought raw materials, it's standing in front of the lot. Maybe in that case I could say, even before you build it, knock down the first synagogue. Because all the goods are here already. Kemaraz amale, still, zimnin de mitrameleu pinyon shivuyim, vizamne viyaveleu. I'm still worried about pinyon shivuyim. Maybe there's going to be Jews that are being in captivity. What's going to end up happening? You're going to sell the raw materials, and then you're going to redeem the captives. And you're not going to build a new synagogue. So even if you already have the goods ready to build, still not enough. So the Gemara asks a good question. If that's the case, even if they built the new synagogue, maybe you shouldn't knock down the old one. You know why? Because maybe there's going to be pinyon shivuim, and you're going to sell the new synagogue. Already, if you're suspecting pinyon shivuim, there's no end. I should make a law like this. You should never knock down the old synagogue. You know why? Because now you're going to build a new one. What's going to happen? You're going to have pinyon shivuim. Maybe you're going to sell the new synagogue. And if we're going to need the old one. If you're always worried about pinyon shivuim, you should be never allowed to knock down the first synagogue. The Gemara says, Amar le. The answer is bad. Dirate de inche lo mezabne. Rule. People do not sell structures that are built already. Which means money they'll give. Raw materials they'll sell. But the dira, once already you have the building up, they don't sell a building. So therefore I'm not worried about that situation. Comes the Gemara and says one more point. Velo amaran ela velo hazeba tiyuha. Which means, when do we say that it's asur to knock down the first Beit HaKnesset? When do we say it's asur telo hazi batiyuha, where you don't see cracks in the first synagogue, which is you don't see it starting to crumble, you don't starting to see structural damage. Aval hazi batiyuha, but if you start seeing cracks where you're concerned that the Beit Knesset might fall, satri ubane, then already you knock it down and you build it immediately a new one, because that's already dangerous. If you see already the Beit Knesset is going to fall, so then already you're able to build a new, knock it down, and build a new one. Already kiha, like the story, he saw decay starting to come into the synagogue, cracks in the synagogue in Matam Mahsaya. That was a big Beit Knesset over there. Satre, he knocked it down. And in order to make sure that the building will be built quickly, he took his bed, and he put his bed in the Beit Knesset where they were building it, and he slept there in order to make sure that they're going to build it first, in order to mizarez the people and the city people. He didn't take his bed out from the site until they put the pipes in. Until it was finally finished, until they actually put the gutters on the roof, he didn't take his bed out. To show you, the rabbi wanted to build the synagogue so fast, he moved into the site itself
But the people saw the rabbi's bed over there, as well, we better fix this fast, because the rabbi's in a place where he's, you know, he's not protected. So therefore, that was a way he was able to cause the Bet Knesset to be built quicker. As she says, Kedesh lo yitya'esh b'binyano. He didn't want the people to give up building the Shehachamavik Yishim and Tzarim Oto. Right, because he was exposed to the sun. He was exposed to the rain. So therefore, when they saw that, they were building it quicker. Okay, let's go one more piece. Ubaba bin Buta. That's the name of a Tana. Hechi asebe le'etza lehurdos le'mistere le'bet ha-Mikdash. Which means, Baba bin Buta, he gave an idea to Hurdos in order to build or to knock down the second Bet HaMikdash in order to build a new one. The Gemara is going to tell the story on tomorrow's now. Well, the Gemara's question is, how did Baba bin Buta give an idea to Hurdos, the king, to knock down the second temple to rebuild it? We just learned, you don't knock down a synagogue until you build a new one. They didn't have another Bet HaKnesset, that was only Bet HaMikdash. So what was the advice? First answer, they saw cracks. We saw, once you saw cracks in the walls, they're already able to knock it down immediately. When you're letting the king do the rebuilding, I'm not worried of Pishi'uta. Which means, when the king says he's going to do it, I'm not worried that, you know, that they might not end up building it. Why? The Amar Shmuel, I Amar Malchuta Akanda Ture. If the government says we're gonna uproot a mountain, Akar Ture Velo Hadarbe, they're gonna do it. They're able to do it. They're not gonna retract. And therefore, when am I worried? When individuals are trying to do something, there's a chance I might get caught up with other stuff. But when the king says he's going to rebuild it, I'm not worried about Mishi'uta. And therefore, the deed is, he was able to rebuild it. A regular guy, we say, he's going to get lazy. But when the king is working on it, the king is going to make sure that is going to get done. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen.